As a man, finding a great pair of pants feels harder than it should. Some look sharp, but feel stiff. Others are comfortable, but wrinkle, stain, or lose their shape by noon. And if you're working, traveling, or constantly on the move, most pants just cannot keep up. That's where Jack Archer comes in.
JackArcher.com delivers one pair of pants designed for real life. Whether it's golf with the guys or date night with someone special, these pants will keep you comfortable and looking polished wherever the day takes you.
That's right, Mark. The Jack Archer Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built to hold its shape all day. With customizable fit options and multiple colors, these are the one pair of pants you'll want to wear every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
If you're an experienced pet owner, you already know that having a pet is 25% belly rubs, 25% yelling, drop it, and 50% groaning at the bill from every pet visit. Which is why Lemonade Pet Insurance is tailor-made for your pet and can save you up to 90% on vet bills. It can help cover checkups, emergencies, diagnostics, basically all the stuff that makes your bank account get nervous. Claims are filed super easily through the Lemonade app and half get settled instantly. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet and they'll help cover the vet bill for whatever your pet swallowed after you yelled, drop it.
Welcome back.
Hey, Brad and Tim, would you like to do 10 consecutive radio shows on WGR? Yeah, sure. Day two, no Tim Graham. Day three, no Tim Graham. Day four, no Tim Graham. Day five, Tim Graham. Where have you been?
In bed, mostly. Barely conscious.
Do you blame this place?
A borderline corpse. I don't blame it. I don't know if maybe the Athletic and WGR is not supposed to mix. Maybe that's a warning of some kind. I don't know.
Some sort of chemical reaction took place?
I went back home and had a sandwich and said, you know what? Because at 54 years old, these always sound pretty appealing. I said, I'm going to take a quick nap. Uh-huh. You know, 60 minutes or so. I woke up at 9:30 feeling like death. And then over the course of the next 4 days, I think I was out of bed about a total of 7 or 8 hours.
Wow.
Just totally destroyed by a flu.
I've had an absolutely mild version of that. I mostly slept from the end of this show yesterday until coming in here this morning. I went home. I went to sleep for 2 or 3 hours. I got up. I ate dinner. I went to a baseball practice. I got back from that at 9:15, and then slept until 9:30 this morning.
I didn't learn this until after I got sick, but I was sitting at Jeremy White's station over there on that side of the desk. So and I don't know if, maybe breathing in the Jeremy White fumes off the windscreen. I don't know. So I told the folks here at 500 Corporate Parkway, I got the authorities to napalm the windscreen and hopefully all bacteria is now gone.
We don't keep spreading that thing back around because it'll get...
Hopefully.
We can't just... This is a small room. It's not a small room. It's fine, but it's... We use one studio here, and everybody who's on the air is very close to these microphones. So if somebody gets something, everybody might get something.
I'm back and healthy in time for the combine.
You seem good. Combine is next week. When do you leave for the combine?
I'll leave Sunday evening. The Athletic will hold its annual NFL summit in which all the writers get together and we have meetings and talk to our bosses and get a little pep talk and maybe a dressing down if we deserve it. And then starting Tuesday is when all the fun starts to happen in Indianapolis.
What is the fun in Indianapolis?
No.
This is not meant to be, I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm not accusing the NFL of anything. What is accomplished by the Athletic paying to put Tim Graham on an airplane and spend a few nights in a hotel in Indianapolis and then go watch people run 40s and lift weights? Like what the hell? What? Why?
It
why is
really,
this a thing?
From my standpoint, it has nothing to do with the actual combine, the Underwear Olympics, as they're called. It is a great networking event. Everyone is there. It's one of the few events. I mean, the Super Bowl is up there, but everyone is there. The owners are there. The GMs are there. The head coaches are there. All the assistants. Well, all right. Actually, caveat. Some coaches have actually stopped going to the combine. It's become a little bit of a mini trend. They'll just send the scouts. We'll review the tape and your notes later. We don't need to go as a coaching staff. That's been done. But the scouts are all there, everyone, the media, and it is an event. And that's what the NFL has gotten so good at doing, is turning everything into an event, down to the schedule announcement, as you know. It used to come out, it was a sheet of paper, it was a memo, hey, here's the schedule this year, and then you'd read about it the next morning in the Buffalo News, or they'd read it off the air here on WGR. But now it's a release. It is a the Super Bowl has the radio row, everything leading up to it, the combine, the owners' meetings. Also used to be a place where maybe a reporter or two from each market would go to the owners' meetings. Now you go there because every coach talks and every GM might talk. So the Bills are very accessible in terms of their interviews with Brandon Bean and now Joe Brady. And so if you cover the Bills, you have to go to the combine, not to check out the rookies, but to see if Joe Brady or Brandon Bean say anything newsworthy, and then also to work on your features. Everybody's going to want to talk to Sean Payton, because we heard it 73 times in the introductory news conference. Joe Brady said he comes from the Sean Payton tree. Well, what does that mean? So all the Buffalo reporters are going to want to talk to Broncos coach Sean Payton and talk to him about Jim Leonard and get all these interviews and go around and get all the connections. So that's what it is.
Do you have a plan? And obviously, don't reveal it. Don't let anybody take your ideas. But like, do you have a plan for a feature going there that's not Joe Brady?
Usually, I don't.
Sean Payton?
Sometimes I do. Usually, I don't. I go fishing, and we have a goal from the Canadians.
It's over.
I don't know if that.
Oh, it's not over. 35 seconds left.
Yeah, 35 seconds with 2 seconds left on the power play. I don't know what's an FCC violation. They say you're not allowed to just, I mean, we couldn't just sit here and do the play-by-play of
no,
it. But.
No, but we can say that something just happened, and it did. This was a 2-0 game. Finland led early. This is the semifinal. Winner will face the winner of USA-Slovakia. That game's being played at 3:10, which I will go home and watch. My favorite thing about doing 2 weeks at WGR is getting to say things like, I'm sorry, I have to watch this hockey game now. Clear out. Leave me alone. So I will watch that game, but we've got our eye
Nathan
on this one.
Nathan McKinnon, a one-timer from the left circle just inside the near post. Off of the skate, maybe, of the Finn goalie.
Saros. We had Finland up 2-0. Canada crept back in. They tied it 10 minutes ago or so, and now have taken the lead 3-2 with 35 seconds left. If they win, they advance to the gold medal game to play the winner of this afternoon.
They will not advance to Indianapolis.
No, they will not. All right, so back to this feature thing. Sometimes you have an idea, sometimes you don't have an idea.
It's a great networking event. You don't know what you're going to learn there. And I've come away with all kinds of interesting information. You get it's also known as a big and stories have been written about it, a big drunk fest. You know, people from not everybody. I mean, you wouldn't catch Sean McDermott out at
He's not invited.
Well, not this year.
He's not allowed in the state of Indiana.
Not this year, but you wouldn't catch Sean McDermott or certain coaches at St. Elmo's, which is the legendary steakhouse there in Indianapolis, getting
is that underground or something? Isn't that like in the basement of some hotel? Or am I making that up?
No.
I have a thing.
There is a they do have a basement. No, maybe.
There's a thing in my head about getting on an elevator and going underground to get steak.
No.
That's not true?
That's not it.
See, this is I can't go to the combine because I'd be all messed up trying to get underground for steak and screw up the whole thing.
So I do have a story idea I'm going to go work on.
Okay. We shouldn't reveal that.
I'm not going to tell you about it.
Right. Good.
And then I'll go fishing. You know, go. You talk, you network over a couple of beers, over a steak. You see, it's funny.
Are you talking
too.
To people in advance right now? Like, hey, do you want to get together? Or you just show
no,
up and you'll see everybody anyway?
I'll see who I see. Yeah. You generally know where people are going. After you've done it for a few years, you know who's going to be at what spot. And again, like I said, I want to say it was Deadspin or maybe it was The Ringer did a story on the debauchery of the combine and the
were you
game.
Featured? Were you featured heavily?
I was not in it. In fact, cool. I think it was a year I didn't go for some reason. But
good move.
There's a gamesmanship and all the different reporters and who you want to hang out with and who you want to talk to and the places you want to go, the places you want to avoid.
Wow.
And it's become – there's one of the restaurants there, Prime 47, I think it's called – I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, it became such a place to go. You'd go there for the cocktails. You'd go there maybe to eat. But then at a certain hour, it just turns into a, you know, I'm not using the meat market phrase in terms of what you would on Chippewa, but in terms of NFL meat market of information.
What I would picture as a hotel bar.
They
right?
actually,
like that situation.
Yeah, they would actually remove the tables
oh.
just to get more people in there to cram in. And drink and to because it was the place to go. So I will not go there. Now, yes, you're not going to learn anything there. Everybody just goes there because everybody's there. You're not going to learn anything there. But it's fun to see. There's a, and again, it's. It,
you these can secrets, tell who the rookies and the veterans are.
These, yeah, these secrets get told by people because they are interesting stories. The Starbucks, where Ian Rappaport and Jordan Schultz had their little. Confrontation last year that became
I don't remember
news.
This story.
There's a Starbucks at the JW Marriott that is centrally located to the convention center. That is where I go. That's where I set up shop and work. There was one year, in fact, there was probably 3 years in a row. I didn't even go get my credential. I'd show up in Indianapolis, check into the hotel, go hang out at the Starbucks, set up shop. Electric outlets were limited. And I just wait for everybody's got to walk through there. So it's everybody comes past you as opposed to going chasing them around the convention center or going to the bars or whatever. I'd sit at Starbucks.
Now, when you say everybody, are you talking about reporters or are you talking about
everybody.
General managers?
Everybody.
Everybody.
Unless they want to go outside, which in Indianapolis, usually you don't this time of year. There have been some years where it's okay and you want to get out and get some fresh air. Indianapolis, I guess I should just mention this real quick. One of the cool things about Indianapolis is it's all walkways and tunnels and everything is connected. So that way you don't have to step outside.
Perfect.
But to get to wherever you want to go, whether it's your team hotel, which is usually where the JW Marriott's where everybody's staying, to get to the combine where all the workouts do happen and the media, you have to walk through this specific area of the lobby where the Starbucks is. And so you just sit there and wait. And, oh, here's Sean McDermott. Hey, Sean, you stand up. He comes over.
Well, this is the fishing you're talking about. That
down.
Just sounds like you're anchoring
yeah,
a
but
boat.
But everybody's saying hello. An agent that I know. You know, here's Brian Daboll. You know, even though he's coach of the Giants. Hey, man, how's it going? Anybody who you make eye contact and it's like, oh, hey, what's up? But everybody also sees who you're talking to. So that's the game of, all right, we can't talk here. Hey, I don't want anybody's, we probably shouldn't be seen. Or you get the eye contact where it's like, I see you, you see me.
Later.
We'll hook up later. That
yeah.
type of thing. Well, those are fun too.
That's so you can have anonymous sources for stories, is that kind of what you're saying?
Not always.
Well, why do you not want people to see who you're talking to?
Oh, for that case? Yeah, yeah. Because you're working on something, or even if you're working on nothing. I mean, I know, but let's say Agent Z sees you from across the room and knows you,
mm-hmm.
and you haven't spoken to that guy in a couple of months, but he knows that you're working on something. And he's like, whatever it is you're working on, I don't want to be attached to it, so I don't want to be your...
I don't
alibi.
Want to be seen with
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I don't want to be your alibi or your okie doke or whatever it is. So it's like, hey, man, I'll catch you or shoot me a text, you know, call me, that type of thing.
So do you approach this as casually as you're discussing it right now, or are you strategizing about your approach?
I am as casual as we're talking about it. However, I should strategize. It's a kind of a flaw of mine. I should. But then again, I think that also lends itself to I'm never really – when we do sit down, when we do have these moments, it's not a sales tactic. It's not high pressure like, hey, what are you learning? What are you hearing? What do you know? It's just, I think I deal with people I like to deal with, and they in turn like dealing with me in that way.
And like, you find something.
Yeah. If I don't enjoy, here's a great example. Everybody knows Drew Rosenhaus, right? So Drew Rosenhaus has such a high percentage of clients in the NFL. When you, and so there have been times when I've had to deal with Drew Rosenhaus. Most recently, it was Jordan Poyer when he was coming off that Pro Bowl season a few years ago. Mm-hmm. He fired his agent, hired Drew Rosenhaus. I was in Las Vegas at the Pro Bowl, and Drew Rosenhaus is there. And I'm like, oh, God. He was heavy duty in South Florida, and I covered the Dolphins for the Palm Beach Post, and so I had to deal with Drew Rosenhaus back then by necessity. He's that type of guy that when you make eye contact with him in a lobby or at an event, he's constantly looking over his shoulder for somebody more important to talk to.
Yeah.
He is the type of guy who you just don't want to deal with because he feels like he's doing you a favor.
You're beneath him.
Therefore, yeah. I just don't deal with Drew Rosenhaus. And if that means I don't get information from Drew Rosenhaus, so be it. So if there's however many Drew Rosenhaus clients are on the Bills roster, fine. I don't need to know about them through Drew Rosenhaus.
There are enough stories out there to tell.
And I'll find out about them directly or through a former coach or through friends. And I don't mean in a surreptitious way. I mean with their permission.
Right.
I had a policy when I covered the Sabres. I used to tell guys, Chris Drury, this was one of the things that I think endeared me to him. I told him one day, I said, hey, I just want to let you know I reached out to your agent yesterday. And he looked at me and he was like, so? You can do that. I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to let you think that I'm going behind your back by trying to get info on you through your agent when I see you every day. But there was a question I had for him, and he just looked at me. He was like, oh, wow, thanks, man. So that's where, like, mm-hmm. So I don't go around talking to people's friends without them knowing or trying to be like, hey, man, what's the latest you can tell me on David Edwards? Is he coming or is he not? You know, you hear about college sports reporters that do this with recruits, you know, working an assistant coach on the staff of the high school team, like, hey, is he going to come to LSU or is he thinking Alabama? What is he? I don't want to do any of that.
Well, it's just going to come back on you and you're going to be perceived.
And it's just not the way I want to do business.
Well, and you're going to be perceived as you do that once, and next thing you know, you're the guy that did that.
So I deal with people I like to deal with. If I see you and I'm like, hey, I like that guy. Want to have a beer? Yeah, man, I got a few minutes. Let's have a beer. Let me buy you a beer. And then after 20 minutes, hey, man, I got to go. And you haven't spoken anything about the NFL, which is usually what happens because you're people you like to deal with.
Yep.
We spend our time talking about our kids and what we got going on and what we're doing with our offseason. And we didn't exchange any information that will ever make it into a story. I don't care.
But even then, it might be we're the guy. If I'm the other guy, I might be like, oh, we're stopping. Hey, by the way, Tim, just so you know, keep an eye on this. Like, you still might grab something there because the guy feels guilty because he knows what you do. And you didn't pressure him, so now he's he's going to give it to you. That's cool.
Or they are more receptive the next time you do reach out because you're not just always reaching out when you need something. That's one of the things I always tell my students. I teach a sports journalism class at Canisius University. And to any journalism student, not just sports journalism, anything. Anything in life, probably. This isn't even a journalism thing. Reach out to people when you don't need something from them. It's just a great way to actually have a relationship where it's not transactional. And I think in sports journalism so much, it's transactional.
Sure. You know what I found? And this is somewhat related. A couple weeks ago, and it was before all this was happening where you and I were going to come in and do a bunch of shows. Shope just texted me. I haven't talked to Mike in months. Just haven't. We're both busy. And he reached out. We ended up texting back and forth for like 45 minutes. And it felt like I hung out with him. Like we just were exchanged. It was not about anything. But afterward, I was like, oh, that's a new thing I just learned in life, that you can just text somebody you haven't talked to out of nowhere and kind of hang out virtually. We've learned how to do that since 2020.
Yeah.
And it felt like when I walked in here the first day on Monday and I saw Mike, it didn't feel like I haven't seen Mike in a while. It felt like I just talked to Mike. And that was just texting. So I can say, I don't know, it's loosely related to this.
Let me ask you.
Oh, go ahead.
So I'm going to the Combine.
Yeah.
You follow the Bills. You know with all the big storylines that are going on with the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
What would you want to know? I'm like, hey, Brad, I'm going to the Combine. Anything I can pick up for you, you know, at the market? Anything? Do you need anything from the Combine? What can I get for you?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing I'm thinking about, this is personally, I took off my UB sweatshirt, but Sean Dolak did not get invited to the Combine last year and was an incredibly meaningful player to the Rams. And we thought, and he's a UB linebacker who was a stud. He was a first-team All-American for UB. But because of size and things and small school, he just wasn't invited to the Combine. But it was very clear to anybody covering that team that he's gonna be invited to a camp. And once he's at a camp, They're not going to want him gone. He's going to contribute. They're going to love him. And he was like mic'd up for their first preseason game. That's how much they went, whoa, this is a thing that we found. Well, this past year, they had another linebacker named Red Murdoch. He did get invited to the combine. I think a part of him getting invited to the combine is that Sean Dolak did not.
And Joe Andreessen.
Andreessen did not.
I think that's an extension of that, too.
Yeah, it's they've been producing linebackers going back to Khalil Mack. I'm interested in how he is perceived, how he looks, how he fits in. But I can get all that just from watching the coverage on NFL Network. I'll see the times. You know, right. I'll see his 40 time. I'll see
what about a Bills bleeping angle? And I well, I'd like to hear from callers.
Yeah.
You know, if you're listening out there and there's like, hey, there, what can we learn? That's a thing. It's kind of weird. What can we actually learn from the Bills at the combine?
Well, do you have the ability?
Not a lot, really. I don't think.
Do you have the ability to stalk the Bills personnel and see
sure.
what they're who they're chasing, who they're talking
no,
to?
You don't
can
really
you learn
see that.
Anything like
all the meetings and who they're meeting with and all that's done behind closed doors.
And even that, even if you could see it, you'd see an agent and be like, he's got 17 guys in the draft. What good does
oh,
that do?
Oh, you mean
me?
Like, oh, I was thinking like with a prospect. Yeah, if you see Brandon Bean talking to a specific agent, maybe, but it can be reckless to report other than, hey, this could be interesting. Because if you read too much into it, like you said, that agent has so many clients. You don't know who they're talking about or even if they're talking football. Just like I was discussing with guys I run into, Brandon Bean is going to see all kinds of folks that he's just has relationships with.
Right. And they'll be talking about their golf game.
Yeah. What's going yeah, how you hitting them these days? That might be all it is.
You're asking me what I want you to find out, and I'm kind of in the position where I'm asking you, what can you find out?
Yeah, what can you find out?
I mean, we started the show by me saying, why are you going? Like, what do you do there? And what I get why you go.
The Athletic makes us go. It's mandatory.
I get
we
that.
We have meetings.
Why?
We have meetings on Monday.
So how many does the Athletic send 32 people are going to be there?
Yeah, our editors too.
So
not
how many,
just writers, but all the editors.
How many people from the Athletic are going to Indianapolis?
That's a good question.
And for what?
But we do it. Every sport, every year has that. You know, we have our NHL, there's a summit. The NHL summit is in Buffalo, has been, with the combine here.
As a man, finding a truly great pair of pants can feel impossible. Some wrinkle the moment you sit down. Others look fine but don't travel well, don't move well, or completely lose their shape throughout the day. When you're flying, commuting, or packing light, most pants just aren't built for real life.
That's why there's Jack Archer. JackArcher.com makes the Jet Setter Tech Pant designed to be the one pair of pants you actually need. Comfortable enough for travel, polished enough for work, and versatile enough for wherever the day takes you. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. With flexible stretch, customizable fit options, and thousands of five-star reviews, these are the pants you'll reach for every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order using code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
If you're an experienced pet owner, you already know that having a pet is 25% belly rubs, 25% yelling, drop it, and 50% groaning at the bill from every pet visit. Which is why Lemonade Pet Insurance is tailor-made for your pet and can save you up to 90% on vet bills. It can help cover checkups, emergencies, diagnostics, basically all the stuff that makes your bank account get nervous. Claims are filed super easily through the Lemonade app and half get settled instantly. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet and they'll help cover the vet bill for whatever your pet swallowed after you yelled, drop it.
Yeah, the bills are interesting because I don't think we're going to really learn about them until free agency. Big moves getting made, direction on the defense, what Jim Leonard wants to do. Are we looking at 3-4 outside linebackers? How do they value Taron Johnson or their defensive backs? What are they looking for? Size and speed and, you know, is it more prototypical size versus, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm just pulling football phrases out, but we're not really going to learn much. I mean,
we don't know what the team looks like. There are 23 guys on this list of free agents. So we don't know who's coming back and who's not. 21, I believe, are unrestricted.
Yeah, I don't know what we can learn. What's the hot? Is there a hot topic for the combine about the Buffalo Bills? I don't see one, but I'm willing to listen.
I want to know how reasonable is it that there is a difference-making receiver available at the 26th pick? I want to know that. I want to know about edge rusher at the 26th pick. How can I predict what's going to happen in the first 25 picks? I don't know. I don't know what information I'm looking to glean.
We are going to be able to talk to a bunch of talent evaluators, meaning NFL general managers and head coaches, what they think of the wide receiver class and things. But, you know, but do we really learn? Do they really tell the truth? Everything is vague, conceptual thoughts, praise usually. You don't hear anything about red flags, you know, unless somebody has one specifically, like maybe an arrest or a blown out knee that they're coming back from, and you might ask a coach, hey, are you concerned about so-and-so's, you know.
And you won't find out until the draft anyway.
And they'll be like, well, of course it's a concern. We'll check into it and we'll do our due diligence. And
yeah.
So,
I mean, I appreciate that you have access to everyone. I don't know what can be gleaned from a Bills standpoint.
Well, I can glean a lot of things.
There's so much on this sheet right here with 23 names. I mean, if we just assume all these guys are gone, which we can't do, but you've got to rebuild half of your team, and it's going to be free agency and the draft. So they kind of work in conjunction with each other. This is a draft-centric event, but the draft doesn't come out until after free agency. So I don't know, man. I don't envy your position.
Well, I'm going to learn a lot, just not necessarily anything to report right away maybe, or anything specific to what it means for the Bills yet.
Right. It's a lot of background. It's a lot of stuff that maybe will work in the future. 803-0550 is the number. If you'd like to jump in, feel free to do so. We connect with the fans courtesy of Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Let's try the phones. We'll go to Rob in Lancaster. Rob is here. You're on WGR. What's up, Rob?
Yes, sir. How are you guys doing? Hey, I was just talking to your screener there, and, you know, we need to make a big move. I mean, I know Jefferson's not happy, and he said a lot of good things about Brady being this, you know, coordinator when he was in LSU and everything. Like, just trade everybody on our draft picks and go make a big move. I know it'd probably take more than that, but I mean, at this point, you know, we tried everything else. We tried D-line. We tried the defense. That hasn't worked. What we haven't tried is loading up on offense to the point where we're unstoppable, where we almost were in that 13-second game. Obviously, the defense blew it, but, you know, we haven't had the chance of a great offense with great receivers, at least one. I mean, you get a guy like Jefferson with Josh Allen, like, forget about it. Like, that's going to be it. I mean, I don't know. I'm just sick of, like, oh, we got to wait for this guy in the draft. Let's look for this guy. Like, I just can't do it anymore. I'm so sick and tired of waiting for the draft where Josh Allen's going to be 30. Like, it's time to make a move to get us to the over the hump. Like, hopefully, you know, changing coaches will help us in that regard because, you know, I'll never forgive McDermott for 13 seconds, but we got to just load up on offense and go for it. Let's score 50 points, and who cares if defense gives up 40 because we scored 50.
Jefferson sounds like a – I mean, of course you say yes to that, but what is that? Is that real? Is that real? Is that – like, yeah, I think it would be better if the Bills went and got the best receiver in football and put him on the field with Josh Allen. I think that would be awesome. And him not being happy, I don't know that makes him available, Tim.
Well, if you're going to trade your entire draft, I have visions of Mike Ditka smoking a cigar after trading his entire draft class away for Ricky Williams. Now that was to pick him as opposed to getting a guy from another team. Did not work out well for Mike Ditka. But you do wonder, and it does lend itself to Rob's point, is Brandon being in a position, especially with what's happening in a public relations standpoint with him and the Buffalo Bills, a rough offseason, Brandon Bean, is not known as Big Baller Bean anymore. Does he lean into or get aggressive for the sake of winning everybody back? Now, that's not something that he would say, of course I'm going to do that, but there's got to be a human tendency to want to go for the big, like to show everybody, to make the big move. And is there a risk of overspending or getting over your skis a little bit if you're Brandon Bean, not only because there's turbulence, but also because you know that you might not have long to get this job done, and not having future draft picks is going to be somebody else's problem potentially.
How does Bean's ego factor into a move, a splashy wide receiver move, after a year of conversation about Bean and we don't need receivers? And all, like, how does that factor in? Might he, for the sake of defending his own pride, not be interested in doing something like that? I mean, it's still on him to make the team the best that it possibly can be, and he fixes everything. If they win the Super Bowl, he's right. But I do think there is something to that, the stand he took about wide receivers, and then to go out and be like, yeah, okay, everyone was right and I was wrong, and now we're doing it. I don't know how quickly he does that.
Well, he did get there, or he went partway there at the news conference at the trade deadline, in which he confessed to, yes, we did try to go out there and get some receivers. And then he went a little bit further, I think, at the news conferences after the season, the postmortem stuff, in which he was asked, Matt Parrino did, I think, asked him specifically, do you regret that? And has a few times, you know, the interaction that he had with the morning show here at WGR. And, you know, I got a little aggressive. I said, you know, but so he's kind of
walked it back a little,
muddied those waters a little bit to try to, you know, I think that he has good people around him. First off, I think he's admittedly not always level-headed. But when it comes to making a trade, it's hard to make a rash decision on a trade. Yes, I guess if you're really a maniac, but trades take a long time to put together. Unless you're hell-bent on, you know, giving up a lot or making a lopsided deal, they take a little while.
Well, it's easy to quickly make a bad trade is kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, but if you take your time, he's going to be able to work through it, and with his lieutenants to be able to talk him through some things to do anything too helter-skelter.
And putting everybody in the same town, in the same hotel for a few days certainly could lead to these type
with
of conversations.
Alcohol.
Yeah, all of it. Love it. All right, time out. We'll be right back. Tim Graham and Brad Ryder taking you through until 3 o'clock. Phone line open, 803-0550. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio, 550 AM, and also now on FM at 107.7 and 104.7. And we're on in Rochester, too. I just saw a WGR Rochester logo. We've added four signals since you were last here on Monday, Tim. It's been quite the week here
at WGR.
See
what happens when I'm not here?
Yeah, lots of great stuff. Oh. All right, we'll be right back.
Stick of hits. Elvis David McKinnon. Score! Nathan McKinnon with 35 seconds remaining. Gives Canada their first lead of the game.
Canada trailed 2-0 to Finland. Came back and won it 3-2, and they're sitting awaiting the winner of this afternoon's game between the U.S. and Slovakia for the gold medal game, which will take place on Sunday. Great game between the two women's teams yesterday as the U.S. came back and beat Canada for gold. And this is the matchup we've all been waiting for, with the assumption that Team USA can get past Slovakia today. I spent the entire break there thinking about GMs drinking and making trades in Indianapolis. And it led me to think, and I do not recommend dropping anything in anyone's drink, but if you're a GM and you have the ability to drop something in another GM's drink, one is a powdery substance that will vanish very easily, and it's a truth serum. So you will get that person to tell the truth. No matter what you ask, you're going to get a square answer out of them. Or there's another powder you could use, and that powder gets them to just comply with whatever you want. Which do you think would be more valuable to extract or to manipulate another general manager as you're trying to make your team better?
I'd go for the information, because the NFL needs to process a trade. Like, if you just wanted the guy to trade something, the NFL needs to approve it. And they might just say, well, this is too lopsided, we won't allow it. And then there's also a time period where it could get pulled. You could have somebody, an assistant, you know, or call the owner, you know, do all kinds of ways you could get involved. Be like,
I think our general manager's been drinking.
I think Johnny general manager needs to maybe go to bed. And can somebody maybe send somebody from the office over to, you know, escort him out of the lounge
the
here?
The fax that just came through at 2:34 a.m. Yeah. Maybe isn't something we should use.
But this information stays forever, right? You know, I'm thinking of Bill Tobin, the Colts general manager, who was, you could almost hear the ice tinkling in his glass while he's ripping Mel Kiper a new one back in 1994. Well, who the hell's Mel Kiper? he was bombed. I'm sure a lot of decisions, probably famous, maybe even great decisions, usually not, but I bet you there's a lot of decisions that have been made in sports where one side was just drunk.
Or both sides
just
are drunk.
Just totally bombed and be like, I'll make that trade. I don't care.
Sports, bars, golf courses during the day.
Or pick up the phone drunk and be like, you know what, you're fired. Hang up the phone and in the morning I did what?
803-0550 is the number if you'd like to jump in. Tim Graham and Brad Ryder with you all this week and next week. Tim will be at the Combine. And he asked me, and we're asking you, what do you want to know? You're a Bills fan. You've got Tim right here. Tim can go find stuff for us. You're taking requests.
Yeah, give me a shopping list.
You're taking requests.
Give me a shopping list. I'll treat the Combine like it's a bodega.
Yeah.
And I'll go down and pick up some stuff.
Okay.
And I'll bring it back to Buffalo with me.
What do you need is the question. All right. Let's go to David in Orchard Park. Hi, David. You're on WGR.
Hey, guys. Thanks for picking my call up.
Sure.
Last time I called in was the day Mike Mularkey got fired, so it's been a while.
Now, wait a minute. Mike Mularkey didn't get fired.
He
left on his own accord. He was so embarrassed at the Marv Levy press conference that he said, you know what, I don't think I want to be here
Can
anymore.
You believe you cover a team where two head coaches have just quit, opted out of being a head coach in the NFL? That's crazy talk.
I'm trying to block that era out in my mind. That's probably how I try to remember it.
Good move.
But I like the pace of your show. I like it a lot. What I wanted to just put my two cents in on is Red Murdoch from University of Buffalo. So I work out at UB. I'm attached to the football team in a couple different ways. And I think 28 NFL teams came out and watched our practice. The Chiefs came out three times, the Jets twice. I mean, even the West Coast teams came out and watched him work. You know, he's a high-character kid. He's big and strong, and he knows how to play football. And whichever one of you guys made the comment about Sean Dolak, that is exactly right. I think teams know they missed on Sean Dolak. The fact that Sean was a four-platform All-American and didn't get invited to any postseason bowl games is disgusting.
Yeah, and we were privy to, and thank you for the call, we were privy to a lot of information because I also am involved with UB football. And I mean, we got a straight-up answer on why he wasn't invited, and it's all about size. It was all the measurables. That's something I'd like to know, how people view, how different teams view production versus physical traits. Because the combine is going to give you all the physical traits, but the production is all on tape. And it's not just about Red Murdoch, who's now the leading forced fumble guy in college football history. He surpassed Khalil Mack, so the top two right now. And Red Murdoch's name is Khalil, so the top two guys are Khalils from Buffalo
in
forced fumbles.
The name aspect about Red Murdoch is that it is such a cool freaking name. Mm-hmm. Red Murdoch. Was he an airplane? Was that the guy that they get to bring in to land the plane?
Murdoch was in the A-team.
That's right. He was
the crazy guy.
That's right.
Yeah.
I love Red Murdoch. But I had a point. And this is where the brain fog kicked.
Okay.
I was going to mention it early because you recognized it, and I actually got on a pretty good roll. I was like Frank the Tank.
You've been fine.
Moment where I was just kind of on a...
The hour before the show, you were foggy.
I was having trouble finishing
words.
Easy sentences.
Words, even.
Yeah, words. I was adding words that didn't need to be there. So anyways, I had something I was going to say regarding Red Murdoch.
Well, you've got another hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, sizes.
Yeah, sizes.
Sizes. That shifts as the NFL changes, of course, especially on the defensive side of the ball. What coaches want, what general managers are looking for, the prototypical size has changed in the last 15 years, of course, because of you want faster over bigger in some ways, especially when it comes to getting after the quarterback. But that is something that we do want to know about the Bills, especially with Jim Leonard, the new defensive coordinator, and what he's looking for out of his defensive attackers, especially on the edge. But I don't think we're going to learn that at the combine.
No.
They're going to learn that at the combine, what they like and everything. But we're not going to learn that until the draft. We're not going to learn about what the Bills are looking for with certain pieces of their offense and defense until free agency. So what can we really learn from the draft when we tune into NFL Network or whatever and watch these guys run the 40-yard dash and how many bench press reps they can do and the three-cone drill?
Yeah.
What are we really going to learn? I don't know.
I don't know of a player like remember when it was
Bills related.
There was I know, but think of like when Kyler Murray was at the combine. How tall is he? Was like actually a question that people were wondering about. Like, can this guy? What's the real height? Because I don't trust what's coming out of a college media guy. I don't trust those people. So there's little stuff like that. Like, is he really 5'8"? Like, what are we doing here? Back to the phone. Jerry in Kenmore, you're on WGR. What's up?
Hey, one thing I'd like for us to do more often, we did it with Coleman, and it didn't quite work out. I like trading back. If the player that you specifically don't want, one or two are there. You know, a guy called earlier. And he wants to trade our whole draft for Jefferson, okay? Do you know what kind of salary cap jail you'll be in 2 to 3? Like, part of paying a $45 million quarterback is your draft is your lifeline. You need 24 people on your roster all the time that are on rookie contracts. Yeah. That's how you accomplish this. And you can't trade 7 or 8 picks away to get one player and think that's going to work. It's just like the Sabres. The problem with the tank is when it fails. It leaves a – I wish they'd trade back and get more picks because it's such a – when we're picking in that spot, 26, 28, 30, wouldn't you rather have two more picks, like between 50 and 60 for some reason, another pick, and move up in the second – like – this can be a volume thing. You should try every year, get 8 or 9 picks because you need, you know, it's like scratching lottery tickets. The more tickets you have, the better chance you have of hitting.
Also, the more you lose. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Especially, Jerry and Tim, when I'm looking at this list of 21 unrestricted free agents and 2 restricted free agents, there's going to be a lot of turnover here. So I didn't really jump in on the caller that said trade your whole draft for Jefferson. I get the point of wanting that superstar that's already established and that whole thing, but it's not viable. You need cheap labor.
Again, there's obviously a lot of territory in between trading everybody for one player versus acquiring 12 picks.
Right.
But, and this is a question, again, we need to, let's have that conversation, Brad, with the caller.
Okay.
Try to have the conversation.
I shouldn't have hung up on
it. No, that's all right. I haven't been here. This is your
we
show.
We did talk about this. We did talk about this while you were gone.
I know. We're not in a rhythm. My illness prevented us from getting into a rhythm. And I take blame for that. I feel shame. And I know that some of it's out of my control.
Says
but
the guy who's about to hop on a plane to Indianapolis.
I wasn't here, and that's my fault. Availability is the best ability. But I will say that when you're drafting so much, you do get into a situation where you're conceding, I might not get much out of these guys for 2 or 3 years. And if you're in win-now mode, maybe you lean towards, maybe there's a dial that you know, in between that trade everybody for one versus acquire 12 picks. There's somewhere in that dial that you would lean more towards the tree, you know, get more impact players now. And so, yes, I agree with Jerry. The lifeline is your draft for the long term. But if you need to win now, that's something that Brandon Bean's really going to have to weigh. Josh Allen is about to turn 30, and you have a head coach who's learning on the job because he's in his first year. You're going to have a defensive coordinator who's never called plays in the NFL who's going to have a learning curve. And so you need to – I mean, it's almost like you'd be hitting the reset button a little bit if you want to go too much with youth right now.
Timeout. We'll be right back. Tim Graham, Brad Ryder, WGR, Sports Radio 550, and now on FM at 107.7 and 104.7. And I said that we're in Rochester. That's not till Monday. But there's a logo online that I'm seeing. We're going to be on AM and FM in Rochester. So that's 2 more signals. So it's – 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different places you'll be able to catch WGR. That's pretty good. Not bad. Time out. We'll be right back. It's WGR.
What's next for you, MG?
What's next for me? Super Bowl. Super Bowl MVP.
In Cleveland? You sure about that, Myles Garrett? I mean, it's good to have dreams and hopes and plans and things, but I don't know. I don't think you're allowed to say Super Bowl in Cleveland, are you? Can you use those words?
You need a permit.
Yeah.
You need a permit from Cuyahoga County.
Yeah, because like, I feel like Alex Tuck had to file to mention the Stanley Cup, and that's in New York State, so there's a lot of red tape. But he filed, he got it through, he was able to say it, which I think granted permission to Western New Yorkers to start saying it. Like, we're not going to the playoffs, we're going to win the cup. Like, ooh, this is fun, this is exciting. Maybe he's trying that. Maybe trying to will it into existence, but I don't know, man. It's time to get connected with the fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Tim Graham, Brad Ryder. Let's go to Bill in East Aurora. Hey, Bill, you're on WGR.
Hey, guys. Enjoy your show. Very refreshing.
Thanks. I feel refreshed as well.
Hey, reason I'm calling is, and it's probably maybe pointed to Tim a little bit. I was a season ticket holder for about 30 years. And I don't understand why everybody, so many people in Western New York are still upset that McDermott got fired. As far as I was concerned, after the 13 seconds game, I didn't think that he'd ever be able to hold the locker room. Because if you couldn't win that game as a head coach, I never thought that they could ever win a Super Bowl with him as our head coach. And we wasted, in my mind, another 4 years of the greatest quarterbacking play the franchise and maybe even the league's ever seen in the playoffs. And the new change, I think, had to come.
Do you really feel like people are still mad about McDermott? I feel like that lasted about 5 minutes and then they got a coach and we've stopped talking about it to a certain extent. Like, I feel like the general sentiment is what you're saying, Bill. I'm hearing what you're saying far more than I'm hearing anyone saying they're screwed without McDermott.
And you know what? I wasn't real thrilled when they brought Joe on, but I got to be honest with you. I think it'll be a smoother transition keeping him there on the offensive side, and we needed a change on the defensive side. McDermott was passive. I mean, how many points did he allow at the end of first halves where he'd go like in his little prevent defense and give up scores and say, well, I'm going to make adjustments in the second half. And we give up a touchdown or a field goal.
I'll push back on that a little bit, Bill. Now, first off, I mean, I know that you mentioned that you were directing it towards me. I'm not upset that Sean McDermott was fired. And I will say that I'm just confused by so much of the messaging. My bafflement comes from getting consolidated power out of this somehow, even though the successes and the failures are pretty similar. But the Bills were great at the classic double dipping, right? I mean, regarding that at the end of the first half. But yeah, I get it. The bend don't break defense, giving up the plays. I had 13 seconds. I think if to some is an unforgivable sin, and yeah. I don't disagree with that. I can get there. To me, just my confusion is how this rollout has taken place. And like you said, the idea that Joe Brady, an underling who's had his hand in this, got the promotion.
Tim, did it surprise you that after the 13 seconds game, he kept his job?
No, only because he was new and we were still fresh in terms of getting out of the drought. And to move on from that, there was still some confusion. Now, a lot of people think they know what happened there. I've heard some things about what's happened there. I've heard conflicting things from people I trust, so it's hard to – but maybe the true story comes out someday as to exactly what happened there. But
let's speculate about what happened there on the other side of this break. I want to talk about 13 seconds. Let's do that
in
just a moment. Tim Graham, Brad Ryder, WGR.
Maybe we can live without libraries, people like you and me. Maybe. Sure, we're too old to change the world. What about that kid sitting down opening a book right now in a branch of the local library? And finding drawings of peepees and wee-wees, Cat in the Hat. If you think this is about overdue fines and missing books, you better think again. This is about that kid's right to read a book without getting his mind warped.
Maybe that turns you on, Seinfeld.
Maybe that's how you get your kicks, you and your good time buddies. Well, I got a flash for you, Joy Boy.
Unbelievable to me that when graffiti happens in Orchard Park, your mind goes to a 14-second clip of Seinfeld with Philip Baker Hall as what was his name? Was he
Bookman.
Bookman.
Lieutenant
right.
Bookman.
Lieutenant Bookman.
With the a lieutenant with the library.
Right. Hardcore. I said we'd talk about 13 seconds, and we will, but let's talk about this graffiti thing.
Gilbane Turner needs to hire Bookman. They're putting out a $100,000 reward for information.
For a head on a stick, right?
Yes.
I mean, we're going Wild West on this thing.
For pee-pees and wee-wees, allegedly.
I hate graffiti. I hate crime that... I understand why people steal things. I'm not saying to do it. I understand why murder happens. I do not understand the destruction of someone's property for the sake of destroying property. I do not appreciate any sort of crime that disrespects other people's time, work, energy, and money.
What about Banksy?
I mean, it's...
That's art, though, see? So what's the line of urban art versus graffiti? This is graffiti. This is vandalism.
This is vandalism.
Yes.
I have no respect for vandalism.
But
no respect for my son crushing a can that's... That's a nickel, except now it's not a nickel. It's just a nickel. But I'm like, stop doing that. When I walk into a room and I see a crushed can in his room.
Easy, Gramps.
I don't like it. I don't like disrespecting other people's time, energy, and money. And so head on a stick is fine. If I would like this to be one person, and do we have the death penalty?
They think it's an inside job.
Do we have the death penalty in New York State?
Yeah, I think.
I'm not saying it has to
know.
Be that.
What do we?
I'm saying it should be on the table.
I'm getting my federal crimes and my state crimes mixed up.
All right.
I don't know what we have.
All right.
I'm not from here. I'm a native Ohioan. Don't ask me what they have there because I don't know that either.
All right. 13 seconds.
We need Bookman to find out what happened with 13 seconds.
What do you know about what happened with 13 seconds? We'll get to that. Or what's your best guess about what happened with 13 seconds? 13 seconds. Sean McDermott did not get fired because the Bills lost to the Denver Broncos. The black mark on his record is still that. Why was he still the coach after that happened? Because, as you said, it was new. It was, man, there were 13 seconds from winning one of the most incredible games that's ever been played in the NFL. That was a lot of fun until the last 13 seconds.
They had just been to the AFC Championship game the year before.
Right.
They were just in year three of Josh Allen.
Yeah, it was all coming. It's all coming. And
technically, it was year four, but year three is the starter, really, as the guy.
Sure. Year three of we go to the playoffs every year because that's the quarterback. It's year three of that. It was still new enough that it was like, all right, dude, that was terrible. That was terrible, but I'm going to assume you learn from it and you improve upon it, and we're going to give you a break on this one. It's not a fireable offense right now. But when
they go 13-3 the next year, but lose to, that's the DeMar Hamlin
right.
year.
The Bengals thing and the
Kim
weird.
Kim Pegula and the top shooting and everybody, the tragedies that were happening with weather and people dying and the games being moved to Detroit and all that. And so you're not going to fire him after that.
Right. But now it's just been too long. And now when you have a list of grievances for why this guy can't be the head coach anymore, at the top of it is still 13 seconds. Because there was a chance to undo that. And that was never undone. So it makes sense to me that while that is still the darkest mark on his record, there was a lot of time between when it happened and when it was time for him to go. It all made sense. It didn't even occur to me until John Harbaugh was fired that the Bills could make a move. When John Harbaugh and the Ravens broke up, I went, oh, well, better win this game this weekend than McDermott because that guy's out there. And that's when I started thinking about it. And they did win that game against Jacksonville. And then they lost the following week. And Harbaugh was already gone. And then they land on Joe Brady. And I'm okay with all the Brady stuff. I'll wait and see. But don't think for a second that 13 seconds isn't the reason this dude got fired. Because it is. It's right. I mean, we would agree. That is the black mark. That's the phrase that keeps coming up. Is 13 seconds, and they didn't fix it. They didn't fix it.
We don't know, though, still to this day. And even the players are arguing about it. After Sean McDermott got fired, we saw a little back and forth between Jerry Hughes and Andre Smith. Of course, you might want to lean towards Jerry Hughes because of his track record, his credentials, starter, all the sacks. But Andre Smith played 15 games that season, including the game against the Kansas City Chiefs. He was a core four special teamer.
I saw the Hughes stuff. I didn't see the Andre Smith stuff.
He was basically saying it was not Sean McDermott's fault, that it was Leslie Frazier's fault for calling the prevent defense. And we don't know Heath Farwell's situation. He was let go as the special teams coordinator. And Tyler Bass's role and the confusion of what was called and what was carried out. And when I say we don't know, is not the same as we haven't heard anything or we haven't found out. Because there are people who I trust. I'm not saying just people who are invested in this or, you know, people who I trust who give me differing inputs on what happened. And so until somebody's willing to go on the record and explain, which nobody really has, Leslie Frazier's been quiet about it. Heath Farwell's been quiet about it. Sean McDermott, I've discussed it with him. And he has explained to me why he doesn't talk about it. I think I can discuss this, in off-the-record conversations I've had with him, is that as a leader of a team, you may roll your eyes at this, but he thinks that as a leader of a team, he should not place blame anywhere. Now, that infers, or I guess I should deduce from that.
But he's not blaming himself.
That he's not blaming himself. Right. And that he's saving somebody from either embarrassment or going public, whatever. Now, that's where the eye rolling might come in as well. Here's a guy trying to save himself. Of course, it's not his fault. But as the head coach, he did take the blame. It's like, it stops with me. I am the head coach, whether it's, you know, the fog of battle or who was calling the plays. Was it Leslie? Was it me? Did Heath do the right thing? Did Tyler not hear him and do the thing on with the kickoff and how it was supposed to be done and would be whatever? So he is the head coach. He's the executive. He's the CEO. He's the one who's supposed to make sure that there is no fog in battle and communication's done and we are dealing with the crowd noise. And yes, it is crazy at Arrowhead Stadium as all this is going down and do we choke or do we whatever. Yeah, you're supposed to be able to pull your team through that. But his belief was it does me no good as a leader of this organization to dissect exactly what went wrong because those people are either still on my staff or on my roster, and keep in mind, he's only third or fourth year as a head coach, may want to coach in this league someday and get other jobs. And if I rip them in the media, then that's a mark on their resumes that they carry on with them and have trouble getting jobs or moving up the ladder, all these other things. So I think his belief was, I'm going to swallow it and I'm going to take all the arrows because you can then take whatever you want from me not talking and put all the blame on me, which you're going to do and which was done, you know, in a lot of ways and still to this day. So he's taking it anyway, whether he falls on his sword or he outs somebody or so, like what he's still taking the heat.
The one thing we can say about his entire tenure is that the franchise has been buttoned up and we were shown how quickly that can fall apart when that guy steps out of the room and we just turn Terry Pegula wild on a microphone and he's there trying to help out. Brandon Bean does not need your help at a press conference, Terry Pegula. I assure you he's got this covered. And every time Pegula spoke at that press conference, it was like, I'm just feeling for Bean. Like, dude, stop. But he can't say, dude, stop, because he owns the team, and he just promoted me, and now he's trying to help and defend me, and I don't need you to defend me. This looks so much worse every time you open your mouth. Another reason for McDermott not to talk about 13 seconds is, why dwell on the darkest series in your entire tenure as the coach? When you get fired, we are going back to that. But why bring it up? Why be involved in a conversation about that ever?
I wonder, though, if in looking back on it, though, if he would like to have hashed it out, get it out in the open in some way, mea culpas, whatever. You know, I'm going to learn from this. I mean, those are the types of things that he did say.
Is that when Frazier went away immediately after that?
No.
Because there was the weird dismissal of him where he was taking some time off.
Well, he was getting head coaching interview opportunities, and then one year he just didn't. After he had another good year, and that was after the 2022 season,
which is the Hamlin season.
Yeah, that was that. He was exhausted. I heard all kinds of different reasons that he and Sean weren't totally on the same page, but the exhaustion. I think his family. He lived here in Western New York by himself during the season. There was a strain. He was the leader for a lot of the guys on that team. You look back on any of the reports that the Bills did about how they went and helped out at the Tops site on Jefferson Avenue. It was Leslie Frazier leading them in prayer. He was very much the, you know, the face of that for the Bills to go down there and get involved. If you recall, it happened at a time not everybody was in town. The Bills ordered everybody get on a plane, get back to Buffalo.
Well, it was the day before the Micah Hyde softball game.
That's right.
It was May 14th. I remember that. It was my son's birthday. So it was May 14th that it happened. The softball game was on the 15th. And that was a very poignant moment being at that game and the moment of silence. So a bunch of guys were in town, but not everybody.
Yeah, Leslie Frazier, I don't want to say he spearheaded that because I think McDermott, but he, once everybody was in town, there a lot of people were following Leslie Frazier's lead on that. So he was very... At a time when the city was very raw.
He was in it.
He was very, yeah, and I think he was drained, and then he didn't get the interviews that he had gotten just a year before, despite everything that had happened.
Yeah.
You know, with Kim Pegula's situation, and it was just, I think, a lot. So.
How do you feel about phone calls?
I like them. Let's have a conversation.
Let's have a conversation. Give your speech. Give your quick, the shortened version of your speech about conversation.
Yeah, we talked about it on Monday.
Yeah, you can say it again.
Let's have a conversation. None of this hang up and listen stuff. You can hang up and listen to us take the next call.
Yeah, but stick around.
Yeah.
Because you're going to throw it in there, and then we're going to throw something, and you might come back with something that you want to say. That'll work. 803-0550. How are we going to connect with the fans if they're hanging up and listening?
I have to stop stepping on you.
You're not stepping on me.
Well, you just were given the phone number, and I was talking.
I'm about to give the phone number.
You were giving it while I was talking. And I stepped on you.
Oh, really?
Is what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm apologizing.
I'm comfortable with this banter. I'm okay with it. You can step on me. Not all the time. It's just going
to
happen.
Here, I'm going to give you 13 seconds to say whatever you want.
You can get connected with the fans. We're going to get connected with the fans, courtesy of Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. 803-0550 is the number. Go to Buffalo. We're in Buffalo, sort of. Lee is in Buffalo. You're on WGR. What's up?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Great.
Good. Yeah, on that, I got a few things real quick. The 13-second, I don't sit there and blame one individual because, you know, just like a marriage, you know, there's two wrongs don't make a right. As far as the McDermott situation, it's so obvious now that that the fire has burned down that, you know, there were not one, not two, but three reports that came out before the Denver game and the Jacksonville game that McDermott had meetings with the owner and general manager, Brandon Bean. And I guess they were a little rocky. You know, I just don't think it's all Bean. I think Terry Pegula made this decision because Bean wanted full control. Just like if you take a look over at the Giants organization, John Harbaugh has to report to the owner, not the general manager, which is a little bizarre to me. So these general managers and coaches do have say in draft picks and such and such, but Pegula should have been a better owner and sat both of them down and said, look, guys, you know, knowing McDermott's track record, and I personally as a Bills fan, I'm almost 50 years old. I think this was McDermott's best coaching year out of his tenure because with all the injuries of everything, there was no need to fire this man over a disagreement what there's reports out there of, over power. And this is just ridiculous. Pegula needs to sell the team and get out of town after that press conference. Wow. And he's doing the same thing what he did with the Buffalo Sabres. He fires Ruff because the tenure was so long. Then you didn't make the playoffs for all these years, and you bring Ruff back. He's a winner. Remember that press conference? He said, Ruff's a winner. Well, why did you fire him in the first place? Now look at it. They're on the verge of making the playoffs. Interesting. Are you going to bring McDermott back after 3 or 4 years?
Lee, you bring up a few good points, and I want to – so please stay on the line here. You raise a fantastic point regarding Terry Pegula and his role as the owner – in that Sean McDermott reported directly to Terry Pegula, as did Brandon Bean, the general manager, unlike with the hockey team. Everybody, there was a line that went up through the general manager. But you're right. Terry Pegula could have probably been a little more proactive. Now, we don't know exactly what's happened behind the scenes, but if these guys were throwing grenades at each other, then maybe it got out of hand at some point. Where did Terry Pegula lose control of the situation of two guys who were in lockstep at one point and shared all the praise and diluted all the negativity or the criticisms, right? They were just like, we're going to take it all as a unit.
People were
as
calling
a tandem.
Him Mick Bean.
Right, exactly. And they got so sideways that one had to go and the other one got promoted. And then the other point that you lead that I think is spot on is that this drudges up all of the negativity of the Sabres, and it shows maybe the Bills just got lucky with Bean and McDermott at that time, and now we're looking at an owner whose track record doesn't just include having all of these AFC championships and all these consecutive seasons of making the playoffs with his National Football League team, but now how can we trust him to make decisions on leadership? Because now let's look at all of it now, because the one guy who was holding it together is gone, who is in large part in tandem with Brandon Bean, but you couldn't keep that together either.
The part that bugged me about the press conference was Pegula saying, I decided this in the locker room after the Denver game, but also Brandon Bean is being promoted to president of football operations. It doesn't make any sense.
I didn't run this past the guy who I think should be running our football team.
It's just me. This is all me.
Yeah, what if Brandon Bean wanted him to be his coach? We sidetracked you, Lee. We're trying to have a conversation, and now Brad and I monopolize.
Sorry, Lee, your turn.
Yeah, the thing that I don't understand is we haven't had a winning coach since Marv Levy. And when McDermott came in here with, McDermott was here first, and then Bean came a year after or whatever. But bottom line is McDermott is a king around this city. He changed this organization around with his ways, the way Jim Johnson taught him in Philadelphia. And Pegula, I think he's a horrible owner. He only comes around when the teams are winning. I don't think they got lucky with Bean and McDermott. I think, it was time that they finally got some football guys in here. But to me, if I was sitting in Pegula's shoes, I would have sat Bean and McDermott down and said, look it, guys, how can we work this out? McDermott, you're winning. We're this close. Now, I'll tell you this right now, to totally tell you the truth, whatever happens this season coming up is a complete failure unless they make the Super Bowl. And now that's going to hold.
As a man, finding a truly great pair of pants can feel impossible. Some wrinkle the moment you sit down. Others look fine but don't travel well, don't move well, or completely lose their shape throughout the day. When you're flying, commuting, or packing light, most pants just aren't built for real life.
That's why there's Jack Archer. JackArcher.com makes the Jet Setter Tech Pant designed to be the one pair of pants you actually need. Comfortable enough for travel, polished enough for work, and versatile enough for wherever the day takes you. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. With flexible stretch, customizable fit options, and thousands of five-star reviews, these are the pants you'll reach for every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order using code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two King or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two King or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune, which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
Build something you can be proud of. There's something incredibly satisfying about learning something new and actually watching your progress build over time. That's what I love about Rosetta Stone. You don't have to dive in for hours. You start small, fit lessons into your day, and suddenly you're understanding more than you thought you would. Rosetta Stone has been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, and their immersive, intuitive method really stands out. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists and no feeling lost. You learn naturally, starting with words, building to phrases, and then full sentences, without English translations. So it actually sticks. Plus, Rosetta Stone offers 25 languages, from Spanish and French to German and Japanese, all designed for long-term retention. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners of this podcast can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
A black cloud, not over the old stadium, over the new stadium that's graffitied.
All right, thank you for the call. That's why we keep you around, so you close with graffitied. The last word he uses is graffitied. I want to give Wade Phillips a little credit. He had a winning record in his 2 years as head coach after Marv Levy, and that wasn't good enough. It was time for him to go because he said both teams are pretty much out of it. You remember this? Both teams are pretty much out of it. They're playing Indianapolis in a night game. I don't know if it was a Sunday night or a Monday night. He said both teams pretty much out of it. Indy won. They went on to the playoffs. The Bills did not. Or they stayed alive for the playoffs. But the Bills weren't out of it. And he said that. And I was like, well, you can't be the coach anymore. And I love Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips is so fun. But to say they didn't have a winning coach after Marv and before McDermott, I feel like Wade gets a little – I got to give Wade a little bit of credit there.
Let's also, real quick, I guess when you talk about getting lucky, you know, I used to say that they fell – back asswards into Sean McDermott, who then begat Brandon Bean, who then begat all his different lieutenants, who then, you know, who then begat Josh Allen and the rest, you know, as opposed to the Krugers and the Ralstons and the
Housleys.
Fill in the blank that happened with the Buffalo Sabres. You know, McDermott was hired with the help of, you know, that panel, you know, those group of advisors that the NFL would lend to NFL owners at the time, and I don't know that they're as active as they used to be, but Ernie Accorsi and Bill Polian and Ron Wolf, and they would help lead your search. We didn't hear anything about that this time.
Yeah.
We didn't hear Terry Pegula getting that kind of help.
If they fired Bean too on the same day, I was very worried about the next step in the process. Like, I didn't want to blow it up. I wanted to tweak the vibe. And one or the other. I mean, it seems as though the whole situation became untenable and one had to go. So whether it was bring them both in and arm wrestle and whoever wins, you're my guy, and the other guy's got to go. I don't know what the battle was, but changing the vibe makes sense to me. There is obviously debate about whether they picked the right guy or the wrong guy to move out. All right, it's Tim Graham and Brad Ryder, 803-0550. We'll go to Toronto for Ryan. Ryan, you're on WGR.
Hey, guys. Hey. Happy Friday. Honestly, I'm confused how good Terry is running this organization. I don't know why he got McDermott got hired first, and then McDermott is the one who brought in Brandon Bean. Secondly, right now, moving forward, in the next season, Bean has a lot of money. Like, he has all these dead cap years or void years or whatnot. I think this year they were still paying for Von Miller, for God's sake. Like, come on, Bean. And all this Mike Evans dream and Jefferson, not happening. Not happening. Neither is my Max Crosby. And if I were Mike Evans, I would not be surprised if he goes to Tampa Bay and plays for Tom Brady. And A.J. Brown, not happening. A.J. Brown, I could see him going to the Patriots. Mike Rabel drafted him.
Well, Brady is associated with the Raiders, not Tampa Bay. Just quick correction on that.
Cool. Mike Evans?
Yeah. You said Brady. Go to Tampa to play with Brady.
I could see him going to Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah.
Playing under Tom Brady.
Yeah. You misspoke and said the Buccaneers. Really? That's why I just wanted to correct that. No big deal.
My bad, yeah. Secondly, Mike Evans is 33 years old. He's coming off a bad injury. Like, we're just going back and forth. Like, it's like bringing in, what's his name? There was a wide receiver they brought in a couple of years ago, and he retired. I can't remember his name.
Percy Harvin?
He was a player. He came from Cleveland, I think.
I don't know.
Elijah Moore?
No, 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I think.
I don't want to play a guessing game.
Braylon Edwards.
I know, man.
Brian Brennan.
But to be honest,
Webster Slaughter.
Got to go. Him making him opening his mouth at press conference made the Buffalo Bills look a laughing stock in the NFL.
Max Speedy.
You. All right, thank you. He doesn't do a great job at press conferences. I think there's a reason. During that press conference, I put a thing on Twitter. About once a year, we remember why we only hear from Terry Pegula once a year. He doesn't really crush it in those moments. Want to just go to another caller, or do you have something you want to react to?
Well, we were talking, he was talking about the resources that Brandon Bean has at his disposal. I just thought it was interesting that this week on NFL.com, they did a ranking of the offseason resources, meaning your salary cap space, what you have in terms of draft capital and that type of thing. The Bills came in 32nd out of the 32 teams. Mm-hmm. And then also at NFL.com, there was a ranking of last year's draft class in which the Bills came in 31st. So we have that going for the Bills and how things are looking.
Cool. That's super cool. That's really great news.
It's just rankings, but it is NFL.com, NFL Network. It's not like it's...
No, and it was legitimately put together. I don't know what the formula was.
Jim Bob's, scouting service.
Yeah. The part that stood out to me is that at number one was the Raiders. And that's why they're picking first. They've got a bunch of draft capital. And they've got room because they've been terrible. The Bills are trying to maintain something and put it over the top. So I think naturally you're going to wind up near the bottom of that list. That said, there are teams that are doing the same thing. The Chiefs are higher up there. The Eagles are top 10, and the Bills are still 32. So that's grain of salt. It's just an article, but there's something there. We'll take a timeout. We'll be right back. It is Tim Graham, along with me, Brad Ryder, WGR Sports Radio 550, now on FM at 107.7 and 104.7. Stick around.
Joe Brady was the young fella that was coming along the next Sean McVay.
Sure.
So now you've got a partnership with Josh Allen that you know is going to go incredibly from that standpoint, but now you're the head coach. And how's the rest of the locker room? How's the defense going to respond to you? Are you ready for this task? This is not, make the divisional round. Great job in your first year, Joe. No. This is win it all and get there soon. I am fascinated by the Joe Brady hire.
Fascinated is a strong word. I don't think I'm fascinated by it. I get it. It's not an overhaul. It's a tweak. Right? Is it that simple?
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I don't.
It's not fascinating.
Well, I can see how Mike Garofalo is saying he's fascinated at let's see what happens type thing.
Okay.
Like he finally has a chance to be a head coach. He was the next big thing coming out of LSU and was getting head coaching interviews left and right. And then got fired in Carolina and then didn't get any. And, so this guy was fast-tracked to be a head coach way earlier than this. And things just didn't go his way in Carolina. And it was a little bit of a black mark, I think, not being able to get it done with Cam Newton, although he was injured. And then he had Sam Darnold when that wasn't a good thing. Christian McCaffrey got hurt. That'll hamper any offensive coordinator. To get fired, then like, this guy's been fired. We can't make him a head coach. This guy got fired in Carolina as a coordinator.
Everything I've ever heard about him from people who've worked with him is positive. I have not heard, it doesn't mean there isn't
Same
negative
here.
Out there, but I've not heard a single word from somebody like, I wouldn't want to work with Joe Brady. Yeah. Everybody likes Joe Brady.
No, he had to go through a rehabilitation, you know, after getting fired from Carolina, to become a quarterback's coach, then replace Ken Dorsey, establish himself there, have success. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he deserves it. But there was a time when he was fending off interviews, or not, I don't want to say fending off, because he was taking his interviews. His dance card was full when it came to the interview season, and then things dried up for a couple years because nobody wanted to take on a guy who'd been let go.
Yeah. Do you think that the interest in him elsewhere helped propel him to the top spot in Buffalo? Because I definitely think that's a factor. If you know that there's interest elsewhere, you want to keep him around. And I don't even know that you would apply the same thing to Dable, but knowing what happened with your previous offensive coordinator, he got to ride out of town based on his success with Allen. We like this guy. Let's keep him around. We need a head coach.
It's human nature. Spot, yeah. Right? When other teams are also into your guys, then you value your guys. Right. Terry Pegula even alluded to it when he was talking about why Brandon Bean gets promoted and Sean McDermott gets fired. One of the things that he mentioned were all the lieutenants. You know, Joe Shane. We have guys who are wanted. Joe Shane went off to be the Texans coordinator and came back. Dan Morgan to Carolina. You know, Joe Shane to the Giants. Did I say Joe Shane or Brian? Brian Gain. Did I say him?
You said
Gain?
Joe Shane.
Did I say Joe Shane twice?
Yes.
Anyway, you, Brian Gain to the Texans.
That's
Brian Gain. So that was Terry Pegula saying that. Wow, look at people want our guys. Our guys have been to other places that other teams have wanted. So of course that impressed Terry Pegula that other teams wanted Joe Brady, including second interviews.
Do you feel connected to the fans today, Tim?
Very. Right. I'm enjoying the engagement.
Well, you have Northtown Kia to thank. Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Back to the phones we go. In order of weight. I'm just going to go in order of weight. We've got Louie. Hey, Louie, you're on WGR.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Listen, I'm listening to some callers, and no offense to some of the callers, but, you know, they're fans like everybody else through and through. But here's my thing. You know, everybody says, well, Sean McDermott should have been kept, blah, 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 blah. You know what? Any coach, I won't say any, but most coaches, any most decent coaches that had Josh Allen as the quarterback, we're going to succeed. And what does that mean? 10-plus wins, okay? So I'll give you an example, it's my opinion. Marv Levy was not a great coach, okay? Marv Levy had a great quarterback, Hall of Famer named Jim Kelly, okay? And Bill Polian as a GM that brought in the resources. So I'm kind of like a little bit fed up with – in my own opinion, fed up of what I'm hearing right now, because Joe Brady, okay, he coached in Carolina, whatever. He was, but never had a great quarterback. It's all about the QB. That's that centerpiece of that puzzle, guys. If you don't have that Hall of Fame quarterback, it's Hall of Famer when he retires. You're going nowhere. I don't care if you got Vince Lombardi coaching your team. They're never going to win a Super Bowl.
Let me ask you this, Louis. With Josh Allen at quarterback, the Bills start at how many wins? What's the baseline?
Pardon me?
Josh Allen. For a season. Yeah, where are they? 10 wins, right?
He's the quarterback. Brad Ryder is the head coach. How many wins do we have right off the bat?
Right now?
Yeah.
Going into this year? How many wins we're going to get? I say at least 11.
So okay. I would win 11 games.
We're going to at least win 11. That's the over and under.
All right. So the reason I bring that up is I'm just asking it this way. So what difference does Joe Brady make? Do you think if they can get to 13 wins, then that is a good, you know,
Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you something. Okay? I'm not 100% by what I hear, whatever. I don't have all these sources. But what I'm hearing is there's muddling. Okay? Sean McDermott muddled a little bit in this offense. Time to time. And Sean McDermott, you want to talk about us not winning a championship? I can give you guys samples. I don't have to give you – I can give you three or four. And I can give you a couple with Jacksonville and Denver, too, where he kind of almost freaking blew it, okay? So here's my point. There are crucial calls that a coach makes. He blew few of them. And we could have to go no further than the 13-second. But he's lucky with the Jacksonville Jaguars – then when everybody thought they should have kneeled, okay, because you got a guy that could boom the tick to the moon, if you know what I'm talking about, that then come back to haunt us, okay? And another thing, hold on, I want to make one more point, please. Halftime, okay? If he elects to keep Josh Allen, 13 seconds, whatever it was, playing beach volleyball, beach football.
In Denver.
You're a coach. You call halftime. You say, boys,
We're down by seven. Let's regroup. That's what a smart coach does. He doesn't allow his quarterback to play beach football and scramble like a chicken without a head on. That's on the coach. I'm sorry.
Louie, I want you to call in every show. That is bringing it. I love the energy.
Yeah, man, I got passion, man.
You absolutely do.
I've been a Bills fan since Joe Ferguson, and I've lived the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay, I've seen it all, and I'll tell you something right now. Why they kept Joe Brady as the head coach? I'll tell you why. Because he's got chemistry with Josh Allen. They work together. The offense is not the issue. The issue was Sean McDermott coaching the defense. Okay, he was the guy who's supposed to control the defense. He didn't bring it, man. He didn't bring it. And what he did, he muddled with the offense on top of that. He got 3-4 crucial playoff calls throughout his tenure that cost us going into a Super Bowl. Okay?
I have a question for you.
30 seconds. Go ahead.
Are you Louie from Hamilton that used to call 30 years ago when I was on BEM with Bulldog?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Did you move from Hamilton or did you just get a cell phone? What changed?
No. I lived in Hamilton before. Okay.
Brad, how can you tell this guy's from Canada?
Because I just remember his name.
I work out of Hamilton, buddy. I live in Stony Creek.
All right, yeah. Stony Creek, yes. I remember you moving to Stony Creek. You change it up sometimes.
I will gladly bring the passion to your show.
Yeah.
You put me on, I will give it. I'll give you all the points I need to
give. That's a fact.
I'm going to tell you right now, we are so lucky that we have Josh Allen as our quarterback.
Well, that's a fact.
Yeah.
If we never win a Super Bowl, would I be disappointed? Yeah. But you know what? Think about all the good years he's brought us.
It's been super fun.
The years that we've got nothing. We've been in playoff misery. We haven't gotten to the playoffs. So many years. I'm such a passionate fan, right? But at the end, I couldn't take watching our seasons go down the hill every year because we didn't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
And all we seen was quarterback carousel after quarterback carousel. We couldn't get off that ride. Now we got off that ride. Two greatest quarterbacks who ever coached this team, that ever quarterbacked this team, Jim Kelly, Josh Allen, and Kemp, okay, before.
Those are the two. If I were to pick
Joe Ferguson, right, I got Joe Ferguson too. Joe Ferguson was good too. Mm. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We're gonna end this. Thank you, Louie. I know you like conversation, Tim. There reaches a point where I've got a button and I can say, let's end the conversation.
I understand this.
I would agree that the two greatest quarterbacks in Bills history are Jim Kelly, Josh Allen, and Jack Kemp. I think for sure.
And Joe Ferguson. He threw Drew Ferguson in there at the end.
For sure. Those four are definitely the two best. I forget if I'm supposed to. I got to look at my sheet.
43. We got enough. 43? We got time to take one more.
Okay. Keegan is in Springville. Hello, Keegan. You're on WGR.
How we doing, guys?
Great.
I just want to talk about McDermott getting fired a little bit. He was here 9 seasons, and we got the East a couple times, but what has he won after that? We got to the AFC a couple times, but we didn't win it. We didn't get to the Super Bowl. I just think it was time for a change of scenery with the coach. You got arguably one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback in the league, who's got a cannon for an arm, and you hardly let him throw downfield. We're doing these little wide receiver screens. Yeah, I know we don't really have like that number one wide receiver that can get that separation, but I just feel like McDermott was kind of wasting Allen's talent just a little bit.
Keegan, how much do you anticipate the offense changing? I know that those are a couple of the things that really drove fans crazy, was the very shallow depth of target from Josh Allen, a lot of Khalil Shakir, of course, underneath stuff, not, like you say, not stretching the field. But this is Joe Brady's offense, and now with him as head coach, how much do you think it will change?
I mean, I think it'll change relatively reasonably. I'm hoping maybe we can trade for a decent wide receiver or even maybe draft a pretty decent wide receiver that can get that separation. And I did notice that kind of in Brady's introductory press conference, he kind of hinted that as an offensive coordinator, he didn't really have full control of like the plays. So that kind of makes me think that McDermott was telling him to like call it a little conservative. So I kind of have faith that with him being the head coach now, he's going to try to stretch that field, let Allen throw the ball more. Of course, we're going to rely on Cook to do his thing.
It's a sticky wicket, though, because if Sean McDermott was the one who had his finger on the scale of this offense, the offense is the thing that got Joe Brady this job. So we don't – and again, there's a lot of convenient ways to look at it, and I guess we'll know. We probably won't truly know. Not even, I don't even want to say September. Probably October is when you really get to find out a team's identity season to season. But to find out what – or have an idea of what Joe Brady really wanted to do or what he prefers to do when he has when it's his show, and no doubt his show.
Is it universal that when people complain about Joe Brady and play calling, that they are all picturing Khalil Shakir on the right side and going backwards from the line of scrimmage and Josh turning and firing it sideways?
No.
Because that's what I'm seeing.
It's not just that, Brad. It's also Khalil Shakir on the left side doing that.
Here's what I hate about that play. And I like it used sparsely. We've seen
it works
with some success. I don't need it four times a game. And I hate, you're taking away so much of your own power. Your power is that Josh Allen is your quarterback. And if it is predetermined that as the ball is snapped, he is turning and firing it to his right, regardless of what else exists, you're taking away so much of what makes your team dangerous. And not allowing him to utilize his, it's not just physical with him. He is a very intelligent quarterback, and you're taking that away by saying, we're going to snap, we're going to turn, we're going to fire over there. And that's what I don't like about the play. It has worked tremendously at times, but it became such a crutch for the team that if there's a complaint about Brady, that's the thing that has driven me crazy. Excuse me, over the last couple of years. Timeout, we'll be right back. It's Tim Graham and Brad Ryder on WGR. We're 20 minutes away from face-off in Italy between the U.S. and Slovakia, so that's definitely what I'm doing when I get out of here. Go home and turn on the game, because it's very exciting. Canada won today, and the gold medal game will feature the Canadian team and either U.S. or Slovakia on Sunday, so I'm in on that. I'm Brad Ryder. Tim Graham is here as well. We'll be together all next week, although Tim will be in Indianapolis for the Combine, so we'll be checking in with him for the first couple days there. Phone line's still open for you at 803-0550. We can grab at least one more, maybe two, as we wrap things up and lead into Show Up in the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. Let's go to Steve next in Rochester. Hey, Steve, you're on WGR.
Guys, how are you?
Good.
I'm of the opinion, I guess, I have no problem with letting McDermott go for, in my opinion, for one reason and one reason only, in 9 seasons. As a defensive-minded coach, he can never figure out how to get to the quarterback. And I always kind of blamed him for that, for whatever reason. You know, it's not all his fault or whatever, but they could never do that in 9 years. And I wanted to know what you guys thought of this. I thought to myself, you know, had Doug Marrone been lucky enough to have Josh Allen and he had that Jim Schwartz defense, wouldn't he probably still be coaching here?
He might be. He certainly wouldn't have quit, because one of the reasons that he did take that buyout, well, even though it was free money, maybe we would have learned even a little bit more about Doug Marrone. But part of the reason he packed up and left was because Kyle Orton retired, if you recall. Remember the Bills had Kyle Orton for another season?
Yeah,
and then lo and behold, at locker cleanout day, Doug Marrone learns that Kyle Orton's not coming back. So imagine what he would have like to do with somebody like Josh Allen.
And Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, we had the number 2 ranked defense that year.
I don't know where they ranked, but they were dynamic. They were fantastic. Jim Schwartz did a remarkable job.
Yes, he did, and I wish he was here again. You know, but I always held that against McDermott. You know, he was a great motivator. He was a religious guy. They loved him, obviously, but you know, you just could never figure out a way to get to the quarterback. You tried different parts, different pieces, different draft picks, different free agents, and you could never do it. And for that alone, I had no problem with him letting him go. I just always keep saying it to myself. What if Doug Marrone, and I don't mean just him, maybe Rex Ryan too, but what if those guys were lucky enough to have Josh Allen, they'd probably still be coaching here.
WWSDD. What would St. Doug do?
Thanks for the call.
Have a great day, guys.
All right, you too.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, all of these conversations they don't exist if they don't hit on the quarterback in the 2018 draft.
I mean, the Bills that year
massively on quarterback, of course. That goes without saying. We don't have to say it every day, do we?
The Bills that year ranked fourth in both points allowed and yards. So not quite second, but they were up there in a lot of categories, fourth overall.
All right. Mark in Amherst, you're on WGR. What's up?
Hey, guys. Brad, it's great to hear you on the radio again.
Thank you.
I agree.
Anytime Tim Graham writes something, he's one of two Buffalo guys that you just drop what you're doing and you read it. And I guess that's kind of a good segue into...
Wait a minute. Who's the other one?
Don Esmond.
Second guy's Ty Dunn.
Oh, that's right? Good company. I'll take it.
You know, I think that's good company.
I agree.
We love the bus, but anybody over at The Athletic's always a good read, and it's definitely worth the subscription. But I think what drives me nuts most about Brandon Bean is I just plopped down $50,000 in PSLs for the next 30 years of Buffalo Bills football, and they hired Joe Brady. And his answer to Tyler Dunn about if we didn't like the Joe Brady hire was F the outside. I don't know that it's the best idea for a guy who had a 25% chance of drafting a quarterback that hit in the 2018 or 2017 draft, whatever which one it was, became a significantly more linear decision when it was him or Josh Rosen, has been living off that for 9 years. And has the right to tell the fans to basically go F themselves if they don't like the hire, because you can take a look at that one hit, but, I mean, you look at the wide receiver room. I think you can make the argument that Ed Oliver making $20-plus million a year is also a joke. Nelson Knox, $17 million cap hit. Like, I understand if Joe Brady is the guy and you want to go forward and you want to hire him, but why does it have to be, we don't really care what the fans think? It could have been much easier for him to say Joe Brady's the offensive mastermind that everybody wanted.
You're right, Mark. There have been a lot of unforced errors in the PR game.
I know you love conversation.
In the last couple of meetings. Yeah, we got
to
go.
I know you love conversation, but we'll have to pick this up on Monday because there's 10 seconds left in the show. Thank you for the call. Thanks to everybody. That's Tim Graham. I'm Brad Ryder. We're back on Monday here on WGR.
Buying pants shouldn't take this much effort. Too many options, inconsistent sizing, and styles that don't work across your day. You want something comfortable, sharp, and reliable without guessing, returning, or buying five different pairs. That's why there's Jack Archer.
Ah, yes. JackArcher.com simplifies everything with the Jet Setter Tech Pant. One versatile pair designed to take you from work to weekend without missing a beat. Easy to wear, easy to style, and easy to shop for. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. They stretch, breathe, and hold their shape, giving you a consistent fit and polished look every time. Backed by thousands of five-star reviews, they're the dependable pants you'll reach for daily.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.